So I want to talk today about being good stewards of our new nature in Christ. If you would turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and I'll try to be brief today. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 17. And I always ask my folks to stand. I hope that's okay. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 17. We'll get right into the message today. We're just going to read through verse number 21. But if you'd follow along with me, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, verse number 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. And Lord, I'm fully aware today that it has the power to change hearts and change lives. And Lord, I know that I don't. Father, there's nothing I can say or nothing I can do today that's going to make any difference in here in this place. I can't do what needs to be done today, Lord. All I can do is simply submit myself to you. And so, Lord, that's what I want to do, Father. So I ask you to help me to preach, help me to say what needs to be said, and help me to not say what doesn't need to be said. And so, Lord, I ask you to fill me with your Spirit. Anoint me, Lord, and give me the words that I need and that these people need, Lord. And would you help them, Father, to hear from your word today? Would you be a blessing to them? Would you meet the needs of our hearts today? Would you stir our hearts today, Lord, to greater good and greater service and greater sacrifice for you? And so, Father, I pray these things now. We all need you, Lord, desperately in a mighty way. So fill this place with your power and with your Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We'll give you all the credit and the glory. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know where he got the Pentecostal thing. I didn't grow up Pentecostal. I grew up Southern Baptist and took a small church out in the country after I felt called to preach. And we was there for 7 years. And it was during that time God got a hold of me and worked on my heart. And I always considered myself a Baptist. And I was a proud Southern Baptist. And I won't go into the differences. Most of you are aware of that. But I considered myself a Southern Baptist. And God got a hold of me and brought me to where I am today. So now I'm a real Baptist, amen. True independent Baptist, but that's part of my story. I won't go into that, but if you are saved today, I believe and I hope that you understand that one of the things God has given you is a new nature. Do you believe that today? Do you understand that today? And so I want us to think about that. God has given you that. And we have that nature in Galatians chapter 5. We'll look there later. We don't have, we won't now. But Galatians chapter 5 tells us that our new nature and our old nature, they're at war with one another. And so we'll talk about that today. If you would with me, turn to 2 Peter chapter number 1. I want to read a few more verses here just to kind of give us more of a context. And I hope you don't mind looking through your Bibles today. I've got some verses picked out. But 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 3, it says, according, I got my Bible marked a lot of times, so I got to wait for you to flip pages, I apologize. But 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things. Do you remember those two words that we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? It says, old things have passed away and all things have become new. Well, here we have all things again. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And we could talk about all things and what that means and get very in depth. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so here again today, I want us to see and understand that we see those two words there, all things. That's what God has given us, okay? All things that we need to pertain unto life and godliness. And then we go down in verse 4 and it talks about that we can be partakers of the divine nature. And so we need to understand today, if you are saved, if you have been born again, if you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if you haven't today, I pray that you would before you leave. But if you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we could talk all day about what God has given us. One of those things He's given us is a new nature, okay? And what happens is when we're lost, when we're unsaved, we have an old nature that we were born with, that we inherited from Adam and Eve. Because they sinned, we have a sinful nature. We don't have to teach our kids to lie, do we? We don't have to teach our kids how to hit, how to pinch, how to spit, how to steal. We got to teach them how not to do those things. And so we understand that nature that we're born with, that's a sinful, ungodly, evil nature that we have. And so when we are lost, when we are saved, I don't care if we're 5, 15, or 50, however old we are slaves to that old nature. And all we can do is sin. We can't do anything but sin. We can't overcome our sin because it's our slave master. And that's just the way that it is. But praise God, when we get saved and we put our faith and trust in Him, and the Bible says we're born again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 told us we're a new creature. That new creature doesn't mean we're perfect, because I still struggle with sin after I'm saved. So it doesn't mean we're perfect. It doesn't mean we stop sinning. But it says old things have passed away and all things have become new. That all things there is we receive a new nature. So God, at our salvation, takes that old nature that we're slaves to, and He separates us from that, and He gives us a new nature. But for whatever reason God sees fit, I'm not God, I don't know, I wish He wouldn't have done it this way, but He allows that old nature to hang around. And that's just the way that it is, whether we like it or not. But let's forget about that old guy, and let's say, praise God, I've got a new person. And praise God, I'm a new person, and we have a new nature. And so I want to think about that today and talk about that today and understand that he's given it to us. And we can still serve the old guy and ignore the new one. We can do that. But I think because God has given it to us, we ought to be good stewards with it. We ought to do with it what He wants us to do. And so really, I believe that God gave us our new nature. And again, we could talk in much depth today about this. I believe He gave us a new nature for three primary reasons, or persons, I should say. Number one, He gave it to us for Him. He gave us our new nature for Him, okay? He gave us our new nature for other people. And He gave us our new nature for ourselves. Do you understand that? Do you ever think about that? It's for Him, number one. It's for others, number two. And it's for ourselves, number three. Now, that's not my 3 points today, but kind of. But that's the reality. That's the truth. And so we need to be good stewards with it. And so, 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, let's go back there. That'll be our main text for today. But we saw, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He has a new nature, okay? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You see, there's where the other people come in. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, by be reconciled to God, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. There's where we come in. So number one today, I want us to think about, if we're going to be good stewards of the new nature that God has given us, we need to understand that He gave it to us to bring Him glory. He gave it to us to bring Him glory. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 31 says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 17 says this, And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by him. So I think we would agree, and I think it's very clear that the Bible tells us that my responsibility and your responsibility is to glorify God. And by the way, as a Christian and as a church, that's our number one responsibility, is to glorify God. Well, preacher, our number one responsibility is to win souls. No, it's not to glorify God. Well, preacher, our number one responsibility is to contend for the faith. No, it's not to glorify God. Now, all those things are in that, and if we're glorifying God, we're going to be winning souls, we're going to be contending for the faith, we're going to be, well, preacher, it's to glorify God. Do you understand that today? If our heart and our desire and our end is to glorify God and to please God, we're going to share the gospel. We're going to contend for the faith. We're going to be faithful, active members of a local New Testament Bible-believing church. And on and on and on. Okay, I understand we could break down all the things that we're responsible for and all the things that we have to do. But we sum those all up into this one thing. My primary purpose and your primary purpose is to bring God glory. That's it. And so one of the reasons he gave us a new nature was for that. Because the reality of it is, we can't bring God glory with the old guy. The reality of it is, we brought God no glory before we were saved. We were his enemies. We were doing him more harm than we were good, if we were doing him any good. You understand what I'm saying? That's our purpose. And so we can't do that. We can't bring God glory unless we're made new. Jesus said, and I've already said, ye must be born again. We must be regenerated. It's called regeneration. And that's something that churches today are, and I'm not saying necessarily independent Baptist churches, but I'm just amazed at churches that accept people into membership just because they want to be members. Oh, well, he wants to be a member? Well, let's put his name on the roll. No, we have to be saved. People have to be saved. It's called regeneration. And I understand. I can't look at a person and say they're saved, and your pastor can't look at a person and say they're saved. But we have a great responsibility to at least want to see some evidence, to at least want to see something in their life that would indicate that they have been born again. I understand we don't know and we'll never know, but it's called regeneration, and it's important, and it's absolutely critical. We have to be regenerated by God in order to bring him glory. And so, folks, we got to be saved. You need to be saved today if you want to bring God glory. You've got to put your faith and your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to say, I'm a sinner. I fall short of a holy, righteous, almighty God. I'll never match up to him. He's the standard. We need to stop this junk of, well, I'm not as bad as her, or I'm not as bad as him. God's not comparing you to him or her. He's comparing you to himself, and you're not good enough. And so you just need to agree with God and say, I'm a sinner and I deserve death and hell. And understand that on that cross at Calvary, Jesus Christ paid your fine. He paid what you owed and what we deserved. And you put your faith and your trust in that, and you call upon God and ask for forgiveness, and he'll save you. If you haven't done that today, I pray that you would. Because God wants you to bring him glory. God wants my life and your life and this church and my church to bring him glory. And him alone. And we can't do that unless we've been made new. Unless we've been given a new nature. Because the old guy, he's selfish. He's rotten. He's a scoundrel. All he wants is what he wants. He wants to promote himself. He wants to feed himself. He wants to do what he wants to do. And guess what? The new nature that God puts in us at salvation, all he wants to do is glorify God. He's not interested in himself. He's not interested in promoting or praising us. He's interested in promoting God and praising God and glorifying God. And so we need to understand today, if we're going to be good stewards of the new nature that God gives us, we need to understand that we have it, number one, because we got to bring God glory. That's what he wants. And so we need to understand today that it brings God glory when we show people what he's done for us. When we used to be rotten and wicked and evil and now we're not, that brings God glory. when they say, man, I remember him. I knew how he used to be. He's not that way anymore. Guess what? It's because God. And God gets the glory from that. And so we need, you know, don't tell me, well, God don't care how I live. God don't care how I dress. God don't care about church. Don't tell me none of that stuff, because he gave us a new nature to glorify him. He gave us all things, okay? And we need to understand that. And so a life that has been changed, a life that lives for the Lord, brings God glory. And when people see that, when people see what he has done for us, that brings him glory. We need to understand that we've passed from death to life. You know, people, we don't think about this. Ephesians chapter 2, turn there with me if you would. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, talks about this. You know, so often we think of death and life as, you know, heaven, hell, salvation, passing away, things like that. We need to understand what the Bible tells us, and that if you are saved today, you have passed from death unto life. And the sad thing is, Christians don't understand that, and they don't live like it. They don't live like they've passed from death to life. Ephesians chapter number 2, verse number 1. And you hath he quickened, that word means made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I love that verse number 7 there. Look at that verse. That in the ages to come, you understand, we are living in those ages. We are in the ages to come that he was talking about right here. And God's desire is that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. You know how God wants to show those exceeding riches? Through you and I. And so he's given us a new nature, so we can go out and show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. That's his desire. And that's why he gave us a new nature, because in the ages to come, he so desperately wants to show how good he is, and how kind he is, and how loving he is, and what he can do to an old sinner. He wants to show the ages to come. And so he gave us a new nature, number one, to glorify him. You see, God gave us all new life. As I said, we have passed from death unto life. And we need to understand that. We need to get that in our heads and live like that. He gave us all new life if we are saved. And we bring God glory by giving that life back to him. Now, I say something like that and people get afraid. They think, well, if I give my life to him, he's going to call me to be a missionary. That's not what I'm talking about. People get so afraid when we talk about giving our lives to the Lord or surrendering to the Lord. Do you know how many people God calls to the mission field or to the pastorate? A fraction. You know what God wants for most people? Work their job, support their family, be faithful, good members of the local church, tithing, support their pastor, read their Bible, talk to the people that work at Walmart. That's what God wants for the majority of Christians. Why do we get so afraid when the preacher starts talking about giving our lives to the Lord? That's what we ought to do, is give our lives to the Lord, because if you're saved today, the new life that you have is not even yours. It's the one he gave you. And so all God says is, you know what, that new life you have, just give it back to me and I'll take care of it. And he'll get the glory. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 16, and we'll move on. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 16. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let your light so shine before men that men see your good works and say, "He used to be a scoundrel, she used to be rotten, but now they see our good works and they glorify our Father which is in heaven." Because after all, it's only God could do something like that. Amen? Amen. Whether we like it or not, whether we have an easy time wrapping our mind around it or not, you and I need to understand this one thing. God's most interested in him getting glory. And I don't have a problem with that. He's God. He's never made a mistake. He's never done anything wrong. He's never done me wrong. He's been nothing but good, nothing but kind. And if he wants the glory, then we ought to give it to him. And we ought to understand, number one, he gives us a new nature so we can bring him glory. Number two, he gives us a new nature. And if we're going to be good stewards of that nature, we need to understand that he gives it to us so we can be a Christ-like example. A Christ-like example. Back in 2 Corinthians, you don't have to turn there, but in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 where we were at, it talks about God. It was in the ministry of reconciliation, and he reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And so when we got saved, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, we were reconciled to God. We were made right. Our sins were washed away. We were justified, the Bible says. And he did that through Jesus Christ because that's his desire for us to be reconciled. And I like verse 18, and it says, "And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." I could be wrong. Here's what I believe that means. When we get reconciled to God, we get a heart for those who aren't reconciled to God. And we say, you know what? I need to help somebody be reconciled to God. And so that ministry of reconciliation that God is in, we get in that ministry when we get saved. And so we get a new nature, number one, to glorify God, but we get a new nature, number two, for other people. So we can help somebody. So we can be that example to somebody. So we can show people what it's like to live for the Lord. So we can stop being rude and mean and ugly and nasty and start being kind and merciful and forgiving. Listen to me, Christians. I don't care what your personality is. I don't care what your dad was like. Well, you don't know my background. You don't know how I was raised. I may not, but it don't matter. We can't use those things as excuses to continue to be who we used to be. If who we used to be is not in accordance with God's word, if who we used to be is contrary to God and his nature, then we need to stop being that way. I don't care what your personality's like. You know, I've heard it 100 times. Well, that's how my old man was, that's how I am. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Stop being like your old man, all right? And let's start being like who God wants us to be. Let's start being like what he put in us, a new nature. And so we need to understand that we are in that ministry of reconciliation. And I get it. I understand. I lose my cool from time to time. I tell my church all the time, one of my biggest struggles is people. People. Man, you pull out in front of me, you know, you're rude to me. One of my biggest struggles is people. But you know what? I have to smile. I have to be kind. I have to say nice things. I have to love. I have to be merciful. I have to be forgiving. It doesn't matter what my flesh wants. It doesn't matter how I used to be. What matters is what God has put in me, and that's a new nature. Because he wants me to love and be kind. You understand? It's for other people. It's to bring God glory, but it's for us to treat other people like he wants us to treat them. And so we're automatically put in the ministry of reconciliation, and I hope we understand that. And I hope we understand. You can read about it in Romans chapter 8. We won't turn there for the sake of time. But it was predestined for us, and I'm not a Calvinist, don't worry. It was predestined for us to be conformed unto the image of His Son. That's what God said. He predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son. So guess what God wants for your life and for my life? For us to be growing in to be like Jesus. For us to be growing every day more and more like His Son, Jesus Christ. Because that was His plan from the beginning, that we'd be predestined, that we'd be conformed to His image. And not our own image. So let's stop with the excuses. Well, it's too hard. Let's just stop and understand what God has given us. God has given us all things. That's what the Bible said. Do you believe the Bible? Because it says He's given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. It says those old things, they've passed away, and all things have become new. So if God wants me to be kind and love people and help people, guess what? He's given me the ability to do that. Okay? We are to model the Lord Jesus Christ. We're to be an example to others and for others. And again, we cannot do that with the old nature. We're to obey God's word. We cannot do that with the old nature because we don't have the desire for it, number one. Who's going to read this book and say, I think I'd like, yeah. I mean, I'm not knocking the word of God. I'm just saying, you remember before you were saved. I remember, we didn't read this book and say, man, I'm going to model my life after. No, we were rotten and wicked and we had, you know, wrong thoughts and wrong desires and did wrong things. We can't obey this book without something new, without God doing something within us. And so we're to obey God's word. We're to be that example. We need to understand that just like we're to bring Him glory, part of our job is to reveal Him to a lost and dying world. Don't tell me it doesn't matter how we live or how we act or what we do. Your job and my job is to go out into the world and reveal God to them. I don't understand it. I mean, you've all seen me by now. I'm not very pretty, okay? You've all been, you know, some of you know me a little bit. I can't fathom why God would call me to preach. I can't fathom why He'd save me, number one. But then allow me to open up His word and get in a pulpit Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday. I don't understand. I can't explain that. But I don't have to, because here's what I know. He's called me. And here's what I know for all of you. He wants to use you. And again, I don't know any of you, but you're all sinners. Saved by the grace of God and nothing else. And just as I wasn't deserving of salvation, none of you are deserving of salvation. But if you're saved today, God wants you to be in the ministry of reconciliation, and God wants to use you. And I'm amazed at the amount of Christians that doesn't affect them. That doesn't affect them. I tell you what, we've seen movies, and we all understand castles and kingdoms and all sorts of things. And the king's in the castle, and his servants are in the castle, and all the peasants are outside, you know, and they've got it rough out there. Well, if one of them was out there and the king, the door to the castle opened and said, hey, the king wants you to come in. And that peasant said, nah, I like it out here, eating slop and whatever. No, they're going to go inside. Why do we act like that? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords says, hey, come up here. Come up here. And we say, eh, I'll take the filth and the slop and the muck. We're to reveal Him to a lost and dying world. That's what He wants. And so we need to go out and understand that we have a new nature within us to bring Him glory and to show the world who He is. Because for the most part, the world's not going to open up their Bible. For the most part, the world's not going to walk in the door. You know, we have visitors and we like visitors, amen? But let's be honest. How many visitors do we have really compared to the amount of people that are out here that don't go to church? Very few. They're not going to just get up and decide, hey, I think I'll go to church today. No, we go out, and as the church of God and as the people of God, we live like God intended us to live, and we show the world who God is. And we tell the world who God is. And we need that new nature within us to do that. We're to manifest the fruit of the Spirit, which really is the essence of His nature. And again, we could go into more detail talking about who God is and what His nature is and His characteristics and His qualities, but we don't have time. But real quick, Galatians chapter 5, and we'll move on. Galatians chapter number 5. We all know these verses. Galatians chapter number 5, starting in verse number 16. It says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit," and we'll talk more about this in a little bit. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest." You notice there are works, plural, "which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit, singular, of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Now, when I said earlier that our old nature and our new nature are contrary one to the other, we see here that it says that our old nature, the flesh, and the Spirit, capital S, lusteth against one another. And so we need to understand that the new nature God gives us, He also gives us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to help us bring that new nature out, to help us manifest that new nature. So the flesh is over here saying, "Well, this is what I want to do." And the Holy Spirit's over here saying, "No, this is what I want to do." And all the Holy Spirit wants to do is reveal God. All the Holy Spirit wants to do is for that new nature to be revealed to the world. But all the flesh wants to do is, as I said, promote itself, be selfish, be wicked, not be concerned about anything or anybody. They're at war with one another. And so we need to understand that. And if you notice, it said the works of the flesh are manifest. That's plural. That's significant there. The works of the flesh are manifest, basically saying you could do any of these things if you're in the flesh. You can do one of them, two of them, all of them. These are the works of the flesh. But the fruit, it doesn't say fruits. It says fruit. Here's what I believe. And again, you can tell me I'm wrong. I believe that all these fruit of the Spirit are in our new nature. I believe we get the fruit of the Spirit when we get saved. It's just up to us whether or not they're going to manifest themselves. I understand you may have more easily have the gift of love. Or I shouldn't say the gift, but it may be easier for you to love somebody than it is me. Okay? And so maybe that's one I've got to work on more so than others. And it may be easier for me to have joy than it is for you. I understand that. But what I'm saying is I believe when we get saved and we get a new nature, we get the fruit of the Spirit. We don't get three or four of them and we got to work on the rest of them. I believe we get them all. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Works of the flesh means any of these. You could do this one, this one, this one, or all of them. But the fruit of the Spirit, I believe we get all of them. And those fruit are to manifest themselves to this world so we can go out and be that Christ-like example that He calls us to be. Number one, we need to bring God glory. Number two, we need to be a Christ-like example. That's God, that's others. And number three, if we're going to be good stewards of our new nature, we need to understand that we have it so we can overcome sin and the old nature. This is where we come in, all right? Don't get all upset. Well, God wants the glory for Himself and God wants us. He didn't forget about us. He gave us a new nature so we could overcome sin and that old nature that won't leave, okay? You can kick at Him all you want, okay? You can tell Him to get out of here all you want. He's not going anywhere. But we don't have to serve Him any longer. Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6, verse number 1. Romans chapter number 6, verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. The old things have passed away, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You know, I get so fed up with, I know some people that believe you can lose your salvation. And I had a lady say to me one time, yeah, you Baptists, you believe once saved, always saved. I believe the Bible. I'm sorry that I believe the Bible. But we catch grief because we believe the Bible, and they say, well, you think you can just go live however you please then, because you're not going to lose your salvation. No, I don't. Because it says right here, shall we continue in sin? God forbid. Amen. No. And so I understand this part of my Bible, and I understand that we can't lose our salvation, but that doesn't give us license to sin. God's grace is not license to sin. Do you understand that? God's grace is not license for us to live however we'd like to live. God's grace is that grace so we can live like he wants us to live. We get it backwards sometimes. It's not freedom to live as we want. It's freedom to serve him and freedom to live for him. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And so one of the reasons he gives us a new nature so we can overcome sin and that old nature. Because we're dead to sin. That's what it says. We're dead to sin. We don't have to serve it any longer. And we need to understand that flesh, that old nature, doesn't care about the things of God. He's not interested in the things of God. He has no desire to go soul winning. He has no desire to go to church. No desire to read his Bible. No desire to talk to anybody about the Lord. None of that. He's not interested. And so we have to be careful who we are serving. Him or the Lord. The old nature doesn't care about holiness. He doesn't care about purity. He doesn't care about righteousness. He doesn't care about these things. And so that's why God gave us that new nature. Because the one we had wasn't cutting it. And because the one we had wasn't going to allow us to live like God wants us to live. You see, our new nature is there to help us avoid the consequences of our sin. Some of the consequences of our sin are hindered prayer. What's the Bible say? If I regard iniquity in my heart, what? He will not hear us. Hindered prayer, I tell you what, we shouldn't want our prayers hindered. We ought to deal with our sins. And by the way, if you have a prayer life, you ought to. That's the first thing you ought to do. The things you think about, say, God, I'm sorry. It's not like a waste can. God, forgive me for everything I've done today, amen. That's not how it works. But deal with your sin, okay? Be honest with God. Say, God, this is what I'm struggling with. This is what I struggled with today. You know my heart. Forgive me. Help me. Deal with your sin so your prayer life's not hindered. The consequences of our sin is us being out of fellowship with God. We all understand that. It's the same. We're out of fellowship with God before we get saved, and we can get out of fellowship with God after we get saved if we won't deal with our sin. And part of the reason he gave us that new nature is so we didn't have to deal with that. We could be in constant fellowship with God. We could be in constant right relationship with God. Because of that, the old flesh, no, he wasn't going to let us be in fellowship with God. Some of the consequences of our sin is the desire for more sin. I tell you what, folks, maybe some of you know, you go a little bit, guess what? So often you want to go a little bit further. You go a little bit further and you want to go a little bit further. And next thing you know, you're so far, you're like, nah, it's no use. You might doubt your salvation. You might get out of church. You might all sorts of things because you get the desire for more, okay? I tell you what I love to eat, and I don't eat just a little bit. I eat a lot, okay? That's how it is. You get a taste for something that you like, okay? I'm not eating a spoonful of ice cream. I'm eating a bowl of ice cream, amen? You know? I'm not going to a buffet and eating a plate of food. I'm eating multiple plates of food, amen? And we have to be careful that if we let that old man rear its ugly head, who knows where we'll end up. We can quench the spirit. Just think, again, we could be here on and on all day long. But we need to understand that there are consequences to our sin. And we may think, if we're not spiritual, we'll think this. We may think, well, who's God to want to get the glory? We may think, well, why should I care about other people? We shouldn't think that way. But we need to understand what I've said. He gets the glory. It's for other people. But God didn't just forget about us. He gave the new nature so we could overcome sin. So we could have that victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't have to live like we used to. I'm telling you what today, folks. If you're living like you used to live and you're saved, it's only because you want to. I'm not trying to be mean. If you're struggling with this, and I'm not saying you shouldn't struggle, and I'm not saying we don't struggle, and I'm not saying if you struggle with something, shame on you. I'm not saying that we all struggle because we have the flesh. But here's what I'm saying. You may struggle with it. You may have the desire. You may have the temptation. But if you're giving into it, that's your fault. Because we have all things, amen? Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18, and James chapter 4, verse number 7, and I'll be done. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18, let's wrap it up. And the key to all of this is found in these two verses. The key to all of this is found in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 18, James chapter 4, verse number 7. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. James chapter 4, verse number 7. My favorite verse, if not my favorite, it's one of them. James chapter 4, verse number 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That first statement there is what we need to focus on. Submit yourselves therefore to God. You know what happens when you get a desire? You always get an opportunity, don't you? Man, that sounds good. What am I going to do with this? That's your opportunity to say, God, I'm submitting myself to you, and I need some help. I need you to fill me with your Spirit. You see, that it's not hard. That's the key. We just have to be willing. When that opportunity presents itself, when we're at that crossroads, which way are we going to go? We say, let's go up. Say, God, I submit myself to you, and I'm about to get angry. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. I don't believe people say, well, there's a righteous anger. I don't believe that. Here's what I believe that verse means. All of us, from time to time, on the inside, you understand? And when we get that on the inside of us, too often that comes out. And so when we get that inside of us, we say, God, I'm about to get angry. I need you to fill me with your Spirit. Be ye angry and sin not, the Bible says. That's how you do it. You submit yourself, therefore, to God. It's only through submission that we're filled with the Spirit, and it's only through being filled with the Spirit that our new nature shines. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. And Lord, I'm going to turn this invitation over to Brother Evans. And Father, I don't know what you have in mind. I don't know, Lord, what you've done today. But Father God, I just pray that you'd work in hearts. And Lord, if anybody here today would be honest and say they're not saved, I pray that today'd be the day. And maybe somebody needs to come forward today, Lord, and take care of some business with you, Father. I don't know what the hearts are in, what shape the hearts are in today, Lord, but you do. And so I pray now, Lord, that you lead us during this time of invitation, we pray. We thank you. We give you all the glory, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.